Welcome to the How to Be a Minimalist podcast. My name is Katie and I'm your host. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really hope that you enjoy this episode. If you are looking for links to anything that I've talked about in the podcast, just check out the description box. This is episode number 139, Keeping Personal Commitments. Hey there, minimalists. It is good to be back again with you this week. I'm excited about this topic because this is actually something that I have been working on for a long time on a very personal level, but it has become more important over this last year. And my husband and I have had it in a running conversation for quite some time now, about like a month, I guess. We've been really talking about this quite a bit and it's been so nice. So I have had it on my mind. I've been thinking about it a lot. And I want to talk about, keeping personal commitments and kind of what that has looked like for me and for my family as well. Before we get started though on that, I want to talk about my personal update. I have been looking at my goals and I've noticed like that kind of quarterly, it's a little farther than quarterly, but basically quarterly, I always look at my goals a little bit more. And this was such a weird year for me creating my goals. It's very different from how I usually do it. And I noticed that I need to do kind of a rewrite and a reprioritizing, and it's perfect timing, probably goes along very well with, and probably because of what my husband and I have been talking about with keeping personal commitments, as well as kind of that internal dialogue that is going on in my brain as I am considering this and how I want to apply it to my life. So I basically am going to do that. But the goals that I have been actively working on are definitely important to me, and I want to talk about those right now. So my goal to read 20 books this year. I always pick a number of books that I want to read in a year, and I upped it a little bit. I intake a lot of information through YouTube, podcasts, and things like that, and articles, and reading books. I used to read so many books. My daughter is just like me. Like, she can go through books so fast. I used to be like that, and now I just find I don't have enough time to read, and so I just try to get them in. But I wanted to read more this year. And my breathwork course took up a lot of time. Again, I was taking in so much information, reading a lot of articles, the information that they gave to us in our manual, as well as lots and lots of video and things like that. So I just really stunk up this goal to read 20 books this year at the very beginning of the year. I really have been doing terribly, but I just started Essentialism by Greg McKeown, and it's been fantastic. And it's been nice to read something. I also have I think two or three other books that I have actually purchased that I have gotten into a little bit, but have not completed all the way. This one just came up in my library audiobook app, and I was like, well, I better listen to that while I have a chance. So I started it, and it is excellent. I'm sure I will be talking about it in the future because it is definitely food for thought. My number one goal this year was to become my own best friend. And I know this sounds very cheesy, and it's kind of weird putting it into a podcast and putting it out there where anyone in the world could listen to that, but it is true. I have decided that I wanted to become my own best friend. And I guess what I mean by that is that I want to treat myself in the sense of my best and worst moments and everyday moments. I want to treat myself as if I were my own best friend. So if you're best friend is really down and out, you wouldn't like call them a loser or tell them that they deserve whatever bad thing is happening to them. You'd give love and support and encouragement. And of course, that looks different for everyone. Everyone's communication style is different. But for me, this means lots of love and encouragement to do better next time, but a lot of understanding and exploring, like, why do you feel this way? What is happening for you right now? And this goal has been very difficult sometimes to achieve, especially in those moments where I have messed up and I want to fix it, but I also want to understand it. It's been hard to meet myself with love and also as my best friend would, but it also has been so beautiful to experience that so far this year. I actually got to practice this quite a bit yesterday. A family member's 15-year-old puppy passed away yesterday, and it brought back so much as I was trying to do my best to support this family member because I've gone through this before and this family member had not. I was definitely doing my best to be supportive and loving And also just to share some things that were important to me or things that I wish I would have done prior to my sweet Oliver boy passing away. We just did everything together. We did so much and I miss him. I still miss him. He was such a huge part of my life every day for 14 and a half years. It's really hard to just be like, oh, well, that was fun and it's done. Like, no, you notice all the little things for so long. I felt down. I felt a little bit grumpy and I also felt agitated. Like I was very unsettled yesterday and I didn't handle a few things very well with my family and I wish that I would have. But instead of shaming myself and, you know, trying to get myself to just snap out of it, I took a moment to allow myself to explore exactly why I was feeling that way. I also just let myself be sad for a little bit. I often have tried to avoid that either because feeling sadness is uncomfortable or because I didn't want to inconvenience anyone by feeling something. Like I have all of these different reasons. We're so complex as humans. It's amazing what our past and current experiences will do to us. But I decided just to let myself feel sad. I also recognized that my breathing was shallow and I took some deeper breaths. I also really leaned into my husband and let him just hold me for a little bit. I needed a hug and I took full advantage of that. And I needed that from my man. I needed to be able to just embrace that. And that was what I did in order to kind of allow myself to fully express how I was feeling and honor it. Really, I know that sitting with emotions is difficult, but doing that check-in, leaning on my husband, allowing myself to be sad, and also doing some deep breathing helped me to process and work through it. It's definitely what I would have offered to my best friend. So how, and that has like me thinking so much because those are very, very simple things that I did, but it's hard to do them sometimes. I know I honestly feel a lot of the time like I don't have time to take care of myself. I don't have time to do that. And instead of just taking a moment to say, no, it's simple, let's just work through it, that's my reaction. So every time that I'm able to do this, I feel like it's a huge win. And it also makes me think, how often do we do that for ourselves where we just sit with how we feel? Not all actions are justified, of course, but our feelings hold so much information and they are kind of the gateway, I think, to good mental health and healing. And I would say that this nicely leads into the main portion of our podcast episode. Today we are talking about keeping personal commitments. And honestly, this is seriously something that my husband and I have been talking a lot about. We have been working through a few things that we wanted to kind of adjust in our lives. And I could not help but think this is perfect for the podcast. I really need to talk about this there as well. So my husband and I had a long discussion about keeping our commitments recently. We talked about keeping commitments to ourselves, to our family, and to each other. And it was a beautiful conversation. We ended up continuing the conversation and have actively been doing several things to keep our commitments better. And I think one of the things that I realized was how important this has been for my minimalist practices over the years. And also, it has helped me to kind of reshape them as we've been discussing this. It's definitely affected my whole life having this conversation with my husband. So I wanted to share a little bit today and also tell you what my husband and I kind of worked through in order to come to the conclusions about the commitments we wanted to keep to each other, our family, and ourselves. Before we make commitments to ourselves or to others, I think that it's really important to understand the why, what, and kind of like the how of our commitments that we're considering making. And so this was what we went through and discussed. Number one was we needed to get to the heart of what we wanted and why. So my husband and I got married very young and we'll be celebrating our 20th wedding anniversary in June. We've had lots of ups and downs, but I tell you what, I love that man and doing life with him is so much fun. But over the years, you know, we've had various times when we needed to refocus on spending more time with each other and different priorities so that we would stay connected and stay a team. So we realized that we were letting some things get in the way of that recently. and we felt a little bit less connected than we wanted to. We wanted to feel more connected, and it really wasn't that the things that were taking a slightly higher priority were bad. Some of them were good or essential, but we each wanted to connect a little bit more. Every time that I return to my minimalist commitments, I have to do the same thing. And I honestly feel that my relationship commitments go hand in hand with minimalism. It's such a huge part of my minimalistic practices anyway. We always think of minimalism as related to possessions. And yeah, that definitely affects the way that we feel, the way we invite people over to our homes or don't invite people to over to our homes, the comfort we feel in our home, and maybe even our desk space or whatever, wherever we are practicing minimalism. But my goodness, don't disregard your emotions, your calendar, and your relationships as far as minimalism goes. It totally applies there too. The home and minimalism, yes, definitely important. But relationships, which need more time and attention? And how could minimalism affect your calendar? What activities deserve your commitment? So these are all things that I absolutely consider when I am practicing minimalism. And it's huge. It's a huge deal. It's a huge part of why I practice minimalism. And it's definitely the number one reason I started to practice minimalism was I realized that my possessions were taking up too much time for allowing me to actually do the things that I wanted to do and spend the time on my family and friends and hobbies that I wanted to spend my time on. Getting to the heart of the why. Why do you want to practice minimalism? Why do my husband and I need to make more time for each other? Things like that. Those are really important. And it may seem like, well, we just want to spend time with each other. But there are often nuances. There are definitely undercurrents or even things that we accept as, like, for instance, you might think, like, I want to get rid of more stuff in my home. And it might be that you actually feel pretty good about what's going on in your home when you really think about it and you're happy with the comfort level and that's the maintenance level that you want to keep. But what's really bothering you is that you've worked so hard to have this home created in the way that you want, and you're not actually having people over to your home to enjoy it with you. That could honestly be the true heart of your new minimalistic commitment, that you're actually not following through with what you said you were going to follow through with or that you wanted to do when you very first started practicing minimalism. So there are a lot of different things that could be involved in your desire to keep a commitment, and it may not be quite what you think it is. I know for my husband and I was kind of getting annoyed, and I think my husband was kind of getting annoyed with some of the things that were getting in the way of us connecting more and making more time for dates and things like that. And really what it was attached to is, like, those other things weren't bad. We just needed to spend more time with each other. I would say that once you get to the heart of what you want to commit to changing, what are the obstacles? We have to think about that part too, because it definitely affects the way we commit to something. There are logical obstacles that I've found so often in my home and my relationships and things like that. We just bought a home about a year ago, and we needed new furniture because we moved in from the RV and we had no furniture. That we sold off all of our furniture when we moved into the RV. And it is hard to be patient and to be true to our minimalist ideals. This is a very logistical thing where you have a need, but you also have the desire to be a minimalist. So it's been really difficult to know, like, hey, we need a couch in here, and then wait till we find the perfect one that will suit all of our needs and all that sort of thing. There's stuff like that that is very logistical, and it really has nothing to do with emotions. It's just like a matter of there being an obstacle to you practicing your minimalism. There are absolutely emotional obstacles though too. So many potential obstacles here. Meeting them with love, honesty, and working on healing might actually be the first steps, and not actually following through with your perfect idea of what minimalism looks like to you. So there, as you look at your what you actually want, when you look at the heart of it, as you see those obstacles, you might find, oh, there is a little bit of a deeper or perhaps a first step. I know my husband and I looked at our calendar to see when we could make more time for our dates and our conversations that we wanted to make sure we were getting to, time was our obstacle. So we set up days and times, and we are also using a buddy system. We set timers on our phones, and we are just trying to do our best to make that obstacle as little as possible. But an awareness of the obstacle is definitely important, an important first step in figuring out what is going to keep me or prevent, be the biggest obstacle. I keep on saying that word. I'm sorry. I was just trying to search for a synonym to obstacle, but there really isn't one. Figuring out what those obstacles are is really important though, and deepens our understanding of how we're actually going to keep these commitments to ourselves. The third step that we took after we'd kind of explored all of these different things was we wrote down our commitments to ourselves. And our lives are so busy with so many different options and different things in them, it's nearly impossible to remember everything that needs to be done regularly, let alone those habits that we want to change. So we decided that writing down our commitments was very important. And we also made a list in as we wrote it down. And we, again, we set those reminders in our phone to make sure that we would actually get to those things. We also, again, the buddy system is really good for reinforcing writing down those commitments. It's been so important to making sure that they've actually happened. And it's been also fun. Like, it's kept the conversation going and kind of checked, it's helped us to check in with each other quite a bit as well. I also would say that when you write something down, it means something. It really, really means something. You can write it in your phone. You can write it on pen and paper. I love to write things down in journals and things like that, but it's important. And then you also have a physical copy of kind of like a contract with yourself. And it's a good opportunity to go and readdress what you committed to in the first place. After you've made this list and kind of discussed all of the different things, either or you know, had that conversation with yourself, if you're making these as personal commitments, so I think it's really important to not overload yourself. Make sure that you're going back to the heart of what you actually want. What are the most important things on your list? In the end, what we really want is usually pretty simple. So making it as easy as possible to achieve those things and appreciating our baby steps is really important. Also, not overloading ourselves so that we get to the point where it's just too much and we don't feel accomplished as we're going through the steps and we don't actually feel good about what we're doing. Having too much on our list could definitely result in the opposite of what we actually wanted. So checking in with ourselves, seeing what's reasonable, what's not, all that super important. I would also say that this is where a very logical side comes in. And so taking a look at your calendar before you really set something in stone is important. I know that when my husband and I, we actually just talked about this on our date this last week, we had committed to doing date nights on one specific night of the week. But currently, my husband is really busy on that night, and so the dates are very late. It's lighter outside, so we're able to still go on a walk or do some things, and that's great. But we kind of readdressed it. Like, is this still the best night for doing a date night, or would it be better on a different night? And what we came to the conclusion of as we looked at our calendar was this might be a little tough for a few weeks, but any other night is going to be tough for a few weeks. And so just we'll hold out and make it work for the next little while, and then it will get easier. However, if we looked ahead on our calendar and noticed that this was going to be a reoccurring problem, that's an obstacle we don't need to deal with. And it is definitely something that is important enough to keep on the calendar, but we could make a lot of different adjustments to our goal in order to make sure that it was not overloading our system and still achieving the goal to be connected. That was the heart of it. On that note of just appreciating those baby steps and doing what you can to make it work, being gentle with yourself as you are figuring out what you want to commit to and kind of reassessing that for yourself, I want you to remember to love yourself and be your own best friend through it. Change is difficult. Oh my goodness, it's so difficult sometimes. But appreciating your efforts is a huge deal. We have not been perfect at getting in every single thing that we said we would do each week, but the effort and keeping the conversation going is achieving the goal of wanting deeper connection with each other. So I don't think that if we were hounding each other or if we had little grace when, you know, things were not going quite as they should go, and when we missed out on a conversation or a date or something like that, that's not going to be a good thing. That's not going to nurture those feelings of connection that we wanted. So keeping your commitments 100% isn't as important as the continued effort and the mindfulness that goes into it. Absolutely. Minimizing your home doesn't mean that you will snap your fingers and it will be perfect. Maybe at first you'll need to do the deep work of questioning why you don't want to let go of things. Maybe this includes counseling. Maybe this includes doing some kind of somatic work. Maybe it means attending yoga or a meditation or breath work. Maybe it means something like that. That might actually be your first commitment that you need to make for yourself. And having an expectation to just improve and not having an expectation for perfection is probably the healthiest commitment that you could make to yourself. Maybe your home is great, but your schedule is struggling. Maybe you need the works. I know I've been in places in my life where I needed the works, where everything just needed adjusting. Ultimately, though, perfection isn't going to get you there. It's like it never works out. Or when you do get there, you're still not happy. You're still not content because you didn't do it in a way where you felt happy. But effort and consistency will usually get you really close to where you want to be, or it will get you to the heart of what you actually want. I don't know about you, but perfectionism to me usually leads to action paralysis because I want it to be perfect. And so then again, you don't know what steps to take first because there are so many different ways to be perfect. But then also, if you can't do it perfectly, you don't want to take a step at all. So then you get action paralysis. Or sometimes you just end up feeling so frustrated that things aren't perfect and they are not going exactly how you wanted to. And so you end up quitting because you just feel so frustrated that your efforts have not been perfect. Both of these usually lead to feelings of shame and embarrassment from what I've noticed in my personal life and from what I hear from others. And honestly, it's all against the goal of the heart of what you really want, right? So it's not about being perfect. It's about doing your best to keep your commitments. And maybe I should have titled that doing your best to keep your commitments. I tell you what though, more love and deeply understanding your feelings, friends. Change doesn't feel as great without those things. But when you incorporate change into your life, as you meet yourself with love and you see your efforts and you appreciate them, and when you kind of mess up, you still say, wow, okay, that didn't go how I wanted it to, but why? Why didn't it go how I wanted it to? Why did I act the way that I did? And just meeting that with love, it's honestly a beautiful way to kind of parent yourself a little bit, reparent yourself in an ideal way, to meet yourself when you're a little bit low, when you're a little bit down, when you didn't do something exactly right. And it allows us to act a little bit more in the way that we really want to, instead of meeting that shame and frustration and embarrassment that comes with seeking perfection with like obstinance and being offended or being defensive or different things like that, that are ultimately not super healthy ways to deal with things that we want to change or our efforts. I guess that could be applied to a lot of different things, but I guess this is a very broad topic. It's a little bit more broad than I thought it would be. However, I really hope that something in here is clicking with you, because it's definitely been on my mind a lot. And I personally want to have extreme ownership of what I am doing. I want to take extreme ownership of what I'm doing. I think it's very empowering. But I also think that doing that with love and that deep understanding of self is the healthiest thing that I have been doing lately. And it allows me to accept when I've screwed up. And it also allows me to accept when I have done something well. And both of those things lead to just doing things better, because there isn't so much shame and embarrassment. There's just love and gentle nudges to do better. I strongly, strongly believe and self-improvement and continuing to seek out what is our part, what is my part. But meeting that with love is going to get us where we ultimately want to go. And it's going to result in us becoming more loving people, I think. So it's very important. And you deserve to have your own best friend that helps you and gently guides you to where you want to go. Call it a self-parent, call it a best friend, but you can be that for yourself. My minimalist challenge today is ask yourself. Let's go through the list together with something. You might need to spend a little bit of time on this and you might need a paper and pad, or perhaps you will write it down in your phone somewhere in a note or something like that. But ask yourself, what's something I want to commit to? What is the heart of that commitment? And how can I make that commitment and meet myself with love and appreciation in these efforts? I think if you ask yourself those questions, I hope you get something out of it. I hope that it allows you to have a more minimalist home and lifestyle. Thank you so much for joining me for this podcast episode. I really hope that you enjoyed it and got a little something out of it today. Remember, it is all about the experiences, not the stuff. And I will see you next time.